For those that don't know us, we're Randy and Jackie Jones, and we've been married soon be 24 years, and the Lord's just truly blessed us.
Thank all y'all for coming this morning. It's good to see your smiling faces, and it's a privilege to be able to come up here and give you what the Lord's given us.
Yes.
And this being the week of Valentine's, which we all know, I think, about your sweethearts and well, whoever your Valentine is, but I'm going to talk about marriage, actually two marriages. One being between a husband and wife in the physical realm that we can see, but there's also another marriage in the spiritual realm. Forever born again believer in Christ that's received Christ, we're married to Christ. If Christ is in us and we're in Him, that's a marriage. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about both marriages. So I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 33. Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. But first, I want to just maybe give a couple examples of my marriage with Jackie. And I'm sure you probably heard that the saying that some marriages are made in heaven. Well, I've heard that, but I didn't know it until Jackie. Because I believe if you do it right, the biblical way, all marriages between a man and a woman can be made in heaven. Because in our case, we did it biblically, and the Lord picked her for me and told me by the Holy Spirit. I heard that. And same with her. And like she said, it's been 24 years, and the Lord don't make mistakes.
Amen.
I mean, it's been a great ride. Well, we've had our times and our risks and all that, but we know who is the head of not only the body of Christ, which we all are a part of as believers, but of our marriage. He's the head of our physical marriage here on earth. And we always, when things happen, could go back to the scriptures and see what Jesus said to do and see what the Word of God says. And that's our standard, you know. And that's what you compare to, and that's what you do. And the Word of God is the truth, and nothing but the truth. There is no other. And it's going to prevail if you'll do it and proclaim it.
Yes.
It will not return void, but God watches over it, He says, to perform it.
Yeah.
And so we need to declare it and say what God says.
Yes.
But now Jackie, is an ordained minister of the gospel. And what that means is that she's been tested and proven by an organization that knows her, that put her to the test, and give her a little license with her name and the ordination on it, and saying that, you know, we think she's a good Christian woman. And that was her desire. It was. People ask me sometimes, why is she got the ordained minister's license? Why didn't you get you? Well, that was her heart's desire, and mine never was, but they told me that since she's my spouse and we're one, that if I can work under hers. Because a lot of places you go into, if they don't know you, they want to see some credentials, you know. And when they see that, they say, okay, she's got somebody backing her that says she's okay and she's accountable to them, and which she is. And I'm happy for her.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Whenever it was, I told Randy, you know, we were one. And I told Randy, I said, I believe this is what the Lord wants me to do. What do you think? He's my head. Because he's under Christ. And he said, after a while, he said, you know, honey, I think you need to do that. Because if he did not agree, I would not have pushed ahead to do what it took to have my credentials. But he said, honey, I know that's what your heart desires, to serve God. So, you know, we have to be one. We have to be in agreement.
Amen.
And I have to respect him as my husband, what he says. And I know he hears from God. And so, but that's my two cents worth.
I'm going to do the role of the husband in the marriage. And she's going to do the role of the woman. So, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, he's talking about the church here too. And he's telling us husbands, that's the way he wants us to love our wives, like Jesus loved the church and loves the church and is the head of the church. But man, that's heavy. What he's asking. I mean, it really is, and we need to think about that, husbands. And goes on to say, still talking about the church, which is the body of Christ, the believers, born-again believers, and Jesus being the head of that body, and the chief cornerstone that was rejected by the Jews at that time, by the Pharisees. And, we're just little stones in that building of the church that he is fitting together like a puzzle to work together. And he's building that church, building his body. And he's preparing it. And it's an ongoing process, you know, until that day that the trumpet sounds. And he's going to say, come up hither. And that door is going to be open. And then we're going to have that marriage feast of the Lamb.
Yes.
And so here we see two marriages. The physical marriage between a husband and a wife that we can see. And then there's that spiritual marriage that's unseen as the body of Christ, as it calls us his bride. And Jesus is the groom. And it's in the spiritual, which is unseen. But you can kind of gauge how that marriage is going in the spiritual, because we can see what's going on in the natural, in the flesh, between a man and a woman. And if we see that they're getting along and they loving each other and they're doing nice things and they're saying the right things, we could pretty much figure that the other spiritual marriage with Jesus is going pretty well. And so in verse 26, it goes on to say, that he, talking about Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Talking about the church again there. And the word of God is like a spiritual detergent. That's why it's so important that we stay in the word, we get in the word, we have the word every day to get in us. It's like it's doing a work, and it's like a spiritual detergent. And You know, when we get married to our wives, we do a little ceremony and have words, and we put on a ring to symbolize that unity, that oneness, that we become one with each other. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. When you confessed him as Lord and you received him as your Lord and Savior, and you believed on him and received him into your heart, he says you became a new creation in him. Old things passed away and all things became new. And there was a, and then water baptism is like a symbol of that marriage, where the ring is a symbol of the, our oneness with each, with man and wife, or husband and wife. Then when you go down in that old, to be baptized in water, that watery grave symbolizes the old nature that you had died. The old man died, and then when you come up, you're a new creation in Christ with a new life. Okay? And the physical marriage between man and woman, and with Jesus when you get saved, it's, it kind of parallels, goes along, you know, in a parallel way, where we're walking with Christ and we're one with him, and we have our spouse and we're one with our spouse. And it all fits. I mean, it works, because God created that. And God don't make mistakes. And so when we think about marriage, we need to think about there's two marriages if you're a born-again Christian in Christ, and Christ in you. And there's two marriages going on here. So, and then we don't forget about the blood of Jesus, where it says the washing of the water by the word, that it's going to cleanse us, you know. He says on down here that he might present her, talking about the church again, to himself, talking about Jesus, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, where they sacrificed animals, bulls and goats and such, and done their little ceremony, the priest, of sprinkling the blood and all that, that was to cover the people's sin. That was just a covering. But now with the new covenant with Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and did what he did and shed his sinless blood, and then by faith, when we believe on him and accept him into our heart and then confess him with our mouth as Lord, and of course, you know, we're repenting during that time too and turning from sin to God, that blood has the power to wash all that sin away. It don't just cover it. It washes it completely away. It's gone. And it washes it into God's sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered.
Amen. Yes. That's
right. And therefore, Jesus can present us to the Father as the righteous of God.
Yes.
Because his blood did that.
That's right.
It has that power.
Amen. Yes.
And he's given all of us a measure of faith to believe that. And then through his grace, what he done is possible, and it's the truth, and it's the only way to heaven. You know, there's not many ways. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, which you well know. So, but sometimes after we get on that side of the cross, and we have Jesus, and sometimes we slip up. And according to God's word, we might not intentionally, but go out there and in a heat of the moment or situation, whatever, we may sin. We may sin, but he's made a provision for that. That if we're faithful and just, or to confess a sin, he'll cleanse us from that sin. Yes. But we're to learn and strive to be holy because God is holy. And that's what Jesus says, or that's what Jesus is doing here in Ephesians to the church. By the washing of the word and his blood, that word gets in us more and more. That's what he tells us to do. Stay in the word, and the word is spirit. Walk in the word, walk in the spirit, because his word is spirit. And we need to partake of that every day. It's really important for this process to go on, that is going on. So then he says, husbands, verse 28, ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Amen. And over in Genesis, I'm not going to turn there, but in Genesis 2, 23 and 24, it repeats that same verse this we see here about a man leaving, for that reason shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife. And also, Jesus repeats it in Matthew 19, verse 5, the same verse there. And he says that the two shall become one flesh. And says, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wives. Now, husbands, so love your own wife as yourself or as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. A man needs respect, and a wife needs security. And over in, that's in verse 33. A man needs respect, a woman needs security. And here's another thing. If this is not happening in your life, your physical marriage and spiritual marriage, is over in 1 Peter 3:7, it says that your prayers can be hindered. So if we're not getting along with our spouses, and we're mad at this and mad at that, and holding grudges or not going to Scripture and doing what the Scriptures tells us to do to reconcile some differences that we have, and I think we all have had them or going to have them on down the road, we will, that it can hinder your prayers, and you don't want that, you know, because you want your prayers to go up and touch the Lord, and he answers them. But there's one scripture that Jackie and I have always used whenever we have a little rift or disagreement or whatever. And that's in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So knowing that scripture and Jesus being the head of our marriage, we've always tried not to let this. We tried to get it settled before we went to bed that night. Because if you don't, it might be worse in the morning instead of joy coming in the morning. You might not get no breakfast in the morning. So God's word works, but you got to do it. You got to use it. You got to apply it, and you know. So that's just one of the things we've learned. So, in conclusion here, when a husband and wife work together in love and submission, The marriage becomes strong and healthy. But we have to work at it every day. It's a process. It's the same as the process of the body of Christ that's going on, that he's preparing his bride. And it is going to be without spot or wrinkle on that day when that trumpet sounds and that door opens and we come up there and we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Word tells us. And we're going to celebrate.
Amen.
You know, and that day's coming.
Yes,
and we should be looking forward to it. Now, the bottom line for the husbands, and I think this is pretty tough, what he's asking, but I think it's possible. And I think with the Holy Spirit leading and giving us power to be his witness, and we can do it.
Yes.
Husbands, you can do it.
Yes.
And sometimes if we fail, hey, we can get right back up. We have an advocate with the Father,
amen,
who is Jesus, our Lord. And he knows our weaknesses. And also, don't forget, we have an enemy out there that knows our weaknesses. And he waits to an opportune time to strike. But guess what? Greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world, which is the enemy, the devil, and the demons. And no weapon formed against us will prosper.
That's right.
But we got to be walking the walk and talking the talk, because it's critical. But husbands, the bottom line, Jesus is asking us to unconditionally, sacrificially love your wife up to giving your life for her if necessary. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, and you might not even have to think about it if you was in a situation. See, God is called, the man is supposed to be the stronger vessel. And the wife is the weaker. And he give the man the responsibility to protect his wife. But the ultimate protection is from God. He has a shield of protection around. He protects us. We can run into his umbrella of protection and stay in it, as long as we stay in the Word. But there are situations where God says, men, you're to look out for your wife. You're to be watching and be alert. And because there's things we have to do too, along with God's ultimate protection. And I know that because the Lord has showed me that, because we got where we went one time in a situation. And also, Christ, we got to remember, we're married to Jesus. I mean, it's a spiritual marriage. And when we get up there, the physical marriage is going to be, it won't be necessary anymore. Because, and even now, you can consider your wife maybe your best friend in the natural, someone you can talk to about anything. You should be able, if you sit down at the table and going to talk and you don't have nothing to say, that's not good. We all are different and have different point of views on things and like little different things, but we can compromise, and we should be able to sit down at the table and talk about really anything, any subject. If she or he is your soulmate, and that your marriage is under the head of Jesus, which is under holy matrimony, and that's what he expects, and that's the way to have a good marriage, to get things worked out. And then if you've been in it a while, things might be going pretty good, and one day something happens, you might find out you still don't have everything detailed worked out. So just remember, we need to do that, and we can work all these little details out, because usually it's the little things. I mean, there's no question about right or wrong on the big things, but it's the little things that can spoil the most. And just remember that Christ wants that intimate relationship with Him also.
Yes.
Where we have that time, that intimacy with Christ. And because that's what He wants. That's what God has always wanted in the very beginning. You know, it says He, in the cool of the eve, then He walked with Adam and had that time, communicated. And it is so important. And it's so important with our physical marriage while we're here on earth. And it parallels each other and it goes hand in hand. And that's the way it works. And I feel comfortable in saying that because over the years, I think I've proved it to myself that God's word works if you do it and obey it. And that He's asking a lot of us husbands. I mean, if you think about it, if it's almost like if you're married, your number one ministry, or so to speak, or is to your wife. But if you're not married, hey, He says, you know, hey, you can give everything to Christ. And so if you don't have to get married, if you can contain yourself, as Paul says, it's because he wasn't. And he said, but if you can't, it's fine to be married. And then, but then you got each other to tend to, and so to speak. But you can do both. You know, but we just got to remember, men, what He says about our wife. If that's not working and it's not working at home, I don't see how it can work that well in the church with the body of Christ. So if all that's working, flowing, then when you come be your part of the church body, whatever that part may be, and we all have a part and we all need to participate and function in that spiritual realm with our Christian brothers and sisters, you know, because even, you know, Jackie's my sister in the Lord and I'm her brother in the Lord. Not only right now we're husband and wife, but and we just gotta step on up, man, and start doing. If you're not, I mean, I don't know, I ain't saying you're not, but something to think about, because this is what God's word says to do, and it's what pleases the Lord, and that's what we ought to want to do, is please our Heavenly Father. And we do it all through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that came from heaven and then had a body. Called Him Jesus, the man Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. And everything we do is done through Jesus, in Jesus' name. Because He's the one that's made us the righteous of God by His blood, sinless blood. And we apply that by faith in Him and confessing Him and receiving Him and getting born into the kingdom of God and into the body of Christ.
Yes.
And into this church body here in Concord. And it's alive and well and it's functioning and it works.
Amen.
And the devil is defeated.
Yes.
And he's being pushed back and we're gaining ground.
Yes. Yes.
And we need to keep on keeping on and don't lose any of that gain.
Yes.
It might not be easy, but it's possible. Especially with the Holy Spirit and God's help, you will prevail.
Yes. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate that word, honey. God's word is true. And we can trust God. He is our Father. And He is our deliverer. And He can help us with anything that we're going through. when Randy and I first got married, we determined in Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's one thing we determined right off, that He was going to be the head of our home. You know, our God is a God that sees and hears. He's not just this woo-woo up here in heaven. Let me tell you, He's alive and well, living in our homes if we welcome Him, and He's in us. But He is able to bring us where we need to be. I'm going to be talking on the God kind of wife. And I'm a process. I haven't arrived by any means. But you know what? I'm willing to do what God has me to do. And when He tells me something, I do it. And I want to repent quickly when I'm not doing right. And I want to seek Him at all times. You know, He's supposed to be in our thoughts at all times. And so in Proverbs 31, verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. And then verse 11, her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. Verse 12, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And it's a picture of a woman with strong character, great wisdom, many skills, great compassion. Her attractiveness comes entirely from her character. My mother always told me, pretty is as pretty does. I don't know if y'all have ever heard that or not. But all the time I was growing up, my mama always told me, and we lived in Stanley County, and it was pretty is as pretty does. If you act ugly, you're ugly. But if you act nice, you're nice. The Army's motto is be all you can be. So I want to thank my husband too. Randy has truly been and is a godly example of what a husband is. He's quick to repent and quick to say, I'm sorry. He prays for me and our children. And I hear him down in the basement running sometimes, and he's praying in tongues. He's covering us in prayer. And we need that. I mean, it brings an assurance and it brings a peace to me. But, you know, I know when we first got married, when you've been hurt, you don't know. When someone says something to you, you don't know behind it what's meant. You don't know if he meant it for good or bad. And God had to talk to me on some things and told me to trust Him. You know, trust God. God's going to bring all things out to our good because He loves us. Amen. It's not always going to be roses. But you know, when Randy and I come together every day and pray together, there's power in that. There's power in prayer. Whenever I pray with my husband, I can't have a hard or angry at him. When I pray for him, I want to pray God's blessings on him. And he prays God's blessings on me. You know, it brings a oneness that can't be achieved any way else except when you pray for each other. In Psalms 66, verse 18, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. True confessing requires us to listen to God and to do and want to do, stop what we're doing wrong. You know, we want to please God. But now, you know, whenever you spend time in prayer, that's when God talks to me the most. And then I'll ask Him about different things and that's going on in our home. And it might be just out of the blue while I'm washing dishes. That still, quiet voice says, this is what's going on. And I know Randy says that we don't go to bed angry anymore. But we did one time when we first got married. And I was on my side and he was on his side hugging the edges. You know how that can be. And I said, good night anyway, I love you. He said, good night anyway, I love you. I mean, we're both mad. and went to sleep, but you don't get really good sleep. But the next morning, that still quiet voice says, get up and fix Randy some breakfast. And I said, Lord, I don't want to fix that man breakfast. I'm mad at him. He hurt me. But you know, the battlefield is in the mind. When we get things in our mind that somebody said something to hurt us and it wasn't that way at all. But in our mind it was, and it was very real. But you know, as I got up, and I wasn't too happy, but I got up and I was fixing him breakfast, and the Lord said, the reason you're having these troubles, and he started telling me why we were having these troubles. So I went back and I talked to Randy, and he said, and then I went back and started cooking again. And Randy came in there, and he said, yeah, you're right. He said, that's what the Lord told me was the problem. So, you know, God's got all the answers to our problems. Amen. If we'll just turn to him, he wants us to have a good marriage and to get along and to be happy. Amen. In Matthew 10, verse 38, this is Jesus talking. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. Verse 39, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Not doing our will, but doing things according to what the Lord says, submission. It's not hard, ladies, to submit to your husband when you know he wants the best for you. It's not hard whenever you know he's spending time with the Lord and that he hears from the Lord. It's not hard. And I'm not saying to be a doormat, because we are truly one. Randy has taught me that there's no male and female in Christ. That I'm not to walk behind him. I'm not to walk in front of him. But we're to walk side by side. That was freeing to me. I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't brought up that way. I was brought up that women wasn't quite good enough as a man. And I know it's because they didn't know any better. But you know what? I have learned a lot from this man. And I thank him for that. Because I know he seeks God and I know he hears from the Lord. Matthew 12, verse 25 says, Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And I'm talking about unity. We strive to have unity in all things. Unity can, if we as believers, not denominations, but as believers, would stick together under God, there is great things and there's nothing we cannot do for him. This is not denominations. This is Jesus. 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 Things are happening now in our government. I'm grieving over. But you know what? We put on the garment of praise. You know, last Sunday was awesome. This Sunday too. But last Sunday, it was just like I could feel the Spirit of the Lord. He said to praise me in the good times and praise me in the bad times. You know, we have to all have our own time with the Lord. Randy has his time that he spends with the Lord. I have my time that I spend with the Lord. And then we come together and we talk about things that the Lord is showing us. What freedom there is that when you can talk to each other about what God is doing in your lives. It's just a oneness like nothing else the world can ever give you. In Proverbs 21, verse 2, it says, people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their hearts. Verse 3 said, the Lord is more pleased when we do what is right than just when we offer him sacrifices. God sees the motivations of our hearts. As women, we can manipulate. And let me tell you, God hates manipulation. He hates that. He wants us to be truthful. Straightforward. Honey, this made me feel this way. You know, don't attack each other. This is how I feel. Then he would say how he feels about things. We share. Our past is in the past. We're not that person anymore. God wants us to be new creations. As we follow Him, He gives us a boldness to speak out the truth. He gives us whatever we need to follow Him and to make differences in people's lives. We all have a commission to bring people to Him and talk about Him to other people. We all have the anointing to lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
He's given us that mandate. And as believers, there is power whenever you pray together. There is power when you step out together. Randy and I have been called to step out to the nations, to pray for people, to make a difference. We're to make a difference. We're not here just for us. We have a mouth, we have ears, but we are to be a mouthpiece for Him and speak His word. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven." Verse 7, "A time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak." You have to know when to speak and when to just be quiet. Be led by the Spirit. When we first got married too, there were some times that he could push my buttons and I could push his buttons. You know each other very well. You know how to irritate one another. Okay. And the Lord would tell me, "Be quiet." And I'd say, "Lord, this man's made me mad. I deserve to be heard." The Lord says, "Be quiet." But you know what was behind it? Fear. What I had been through. Fear. Fear that Randy would leave me. Fear that he wouldn't love me. You know, fear is a liar.
Amen.
It is the enemy of us. Guess what? I started really getting into Scripture. And the Lord would tell me, "Trust me. Trust me." A quiet answer turns away wrath. I had to meditate on that. A quiet answer turns away wrath. When I started obeying the Lord, then guess what? Things started turning around. Not only in my life, but Randy's life, our whole marriage, everything. I can truly say it is a marriage made in heaven. Not to say that we don't go through things. This morning, I turned Randy's coffee over in the truck while he's getting ready to go. Oh my. But you know, I didn't do it intentionally. I was trying to help him. But you know, he didn't say anything. You know, it's wonderful when your spouse knows that you love them. And it's wonderful to be loved. But you know what? We have a Father that loves us even more than we can ever love.
Amen.
A few years back, I was praying for my children. And I said, "God, I love Michael, my son. My heart grieves." And that still quiet voice said, "Don't you know I love him even more than you do? Because I love him with a perfect love. Not like man can love. We love conditionally. But you know what? We're to love unconditionally. Because of what God has done for us."
Amen.
Proverbs 21 verse 9 says, "It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home." Woo. See God, see your husband like God sees him. You know, a woman especially, and I have been there, complain about things. And God hates complaining. If you got to complain, complain to God. Don't complain to your husband. Because God, he can do something about it. And it might not be your husband that the problem is. Might be you. There's times when we need to just listen and not offer advice. to support him and not offer constructive criticism. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. But the Bible says a wife can win her husband without saying anything because of what he observes, and his wife speaks more loudly than what she tells him. 1 Peter 3:1, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husband. And I know that is a bad word nowadays, authority, because of the Me Too movement. But then if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lies will speak to them without words. They will be won over. Verse 2, by observing your pure and reverent lives, God wants to show himself big in our lives. He wants us to just trust him. And every day, because I was praying to the Lord one time, and I said, Lord, I want to fulfill the plan that you have for me. And that should be all of our cries to the Lord. We want to fulfill the plan that God has for us. And you know what he told me? Just step each day. Just listen and do what I tell you. And you will fulfill the plan that I have for you. We try to make it so hard. But it's not hard. Each day that we listen to him, we stay in his word, because that is life. His word is life to us. A changed life speaks loud and clear. Can I have a Kleenex, please? Sorry. Thank you. Peter instructs Christian wives to develop inner beauty rather than to be overly concerned about their outward appearance. A Christian woman is to take care of themselves and look their best, and their husbands will be won over by their love. True beauty begins inside. I love you, Randy. You have and are a blessing in my children's lives. And I thank God for you. I seen a sign the other day, and I bought it. It's just a little sign that says, God knew I needed you. It's in our bedroom, and I see it every night I go to sleep. But you know what? That's so true. God knew I needed him. He has encouraged me to follow the Lord and turn to him. When I first met Randy, I had only been filled with the Holy Spirit about six months. And I met him at a singles. And I said, we had been talking and all. And I said, do you know anything about being filled with the Holy Spirit? And he was like, oh, yes, I do. And I mean, a boldness wrote. And I thought, whoa, I like this guy. But you know what? It was through all that. He's helped me grow. And that's what we're supposed to do, is help each other grow. Encourage one another. Hey, you know what? We need to get in the Word. We haven't been in the Word today. We need to get in the Word. Hey, we need to pray for one another. We forgot to pray for one another today. We need to encourage one another. And through that example, for our children. But I thank God for you. I really do. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in your home and in you. Pray and confess disrespectful attitudes and words to God. Ask God to give you a new heart for your husband and for you to see him the way God sees him. This is a truly amazing woman, the kind of woman we can only become through God's enablement and our own surrender. You know what? Surrender's not easy sometimes. But when we say, God, I surrender your way, not my way, because a lot of times we want to be on the throne. We want to do things our way. And it doesn't always work. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. In verse 23, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. That's true love. In Amos 3, verse 3, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? That's unity. Amen. Then Romans 15, verse 5, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as it is fitting for the followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, then all of you can be joined together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's like-minded. Then Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. That's building each other by serving Christ. And then perfectly joined, no divisions. Paul is talking about the church here and believers. And that's in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And this is one thing that had come to me. It says, how much we love God can be measured by how well we treat others. Although no one else may see you, God will notice. You know, what we are in our quiet time and our alone time is really who we are when no one else is looking. I know you guys knew that Randy lost his brother and I lost my niece. But you know what? During my niece's funeral, it was really a homecoming. Because the song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. All sorrow will race. We'll gladly run a race. And I don't know the other words of it, but you know what? It will be worth it all. So I wanted to ask if anyone has any time, anything they want to pray about. Maybe your marriage is not exactly how you would want it to be, but you know what? God wants us to have good marriages, and he wants us to have a good life and be in peace. Yes. We're to have peace. That's one thing we pray, peace over our home. We guard the peace of our home. That's what we're supposed to do. And our home is a prayerful home. We pray in our home. And we've had people say, you know, I feel peace here. It's because we have prayed peace in our home and God reigns in our home. He has his way in our home. And that should be each one of our desire, is that God has his way in our home. So I want to ask the Lord to bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace.